Well, last week we kicked off our summer sermon series that is entitled The Gospel According to Taylor Swift. We looked at Taylor Swift's song called Love Story. And Love Story reminded us that our gospel story is a love story, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And so we talked about love story, specifically the gospel love story, of the love story that God has invited all of us into. I shared with you as a part of that introductory sermon on the Taylor Swift series that I am not a Swiftie. We are going to be following some of Taylor Swift's songs, tying us into the biblical text, but I am not a Swiftie. There's some Taylor Swift songs I really love. There's some I really, really don't love. I am not a classification of a Swiftie. But I did know at some point in the sermon series that we would have to bring in a true Swiftie. And boy, did we do it this week, okay? Steve Pausch is the Swiftie that I'm referring to that is going to give this morning's message. He may say some stuff at the beginning that you're just going to have to sift through of what's fact and what's fiction, okay? But once he gets to the Bible, we're getting into fact, okay? So that's the little teaser. Steve may say some stuff. Otherwise, give him a round of applause as he comes forward to bring this morning's message. Thanks, Steve.
I am not a Swiftie. Your pastor does not tell the truth. A while ago, Justin asked me if I would preach this summer. I said, sure, I can do that. And then he told me what the sermon series was. And I'm like, how is that going to work? And I said, what qualifies me to have to do a sermon on Taylor Swift? He goes, well, you have daughters. I'm like, so? It doesn't mean I go get my hair done somewhere special because I have daughters, so I don't know what that fits. But that's how I ended up here today, and, you know, I'm not sure of his logic. I just think he wanted the day off. You know, he needed a day off because Friday night they had church softball, and he went to that. You ought to come watch church softball sometime. They do a pretty good job at Baines Park. So he had church softball, and then yesterday morning he ran a 5K, and I hear that our pastor won his age group. I don't know anything about how many people were there or, you know, could they even run. But he did win his age group in the 5K that he was in yesterday. So, but I think it's good when he goes down and hangs out with kids and family members and other places. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm just not sure how I got picked for this sermon series. So if you just hang on, we will try to figure it out. And do that. So last time I preached, I mentioned that I work with an organization called Youth for Christ, and we work with teenagers. Our goal is to work with kids who would never normally step into church without somebody taking them there, and that's what our staff do. They build those relationships, and somebody asked me, well, how do we help what you're doing, or how do we get involved? So on the back pew outside in the hallway there, I did put some of our last month's newsletter, if you'd like to pick that up and read it. That'd be great if you would do that. So it is out there in that. So, as I mentioned, I am not a Swiftie. I am not even really a music person. Like, music could be on in the background. I couldn't tell you who it is. I don't know any of those kind of things. Music doesn't really drive me. I can sit in a car all by myself. I like me, you know, so I can be with me and not listen to music. I know that's not possible for every teenager day. Most of them have to have those white little earbuds in all the time. But music's really never had that. I mean, I do enjoy music. I think we are very blessed here to have all the music opportunities we do have. There are some songs that really move me. You know, I think about the one we sung earlier today that said, "He has made me glad." And I remember the person in the story where they say, "Oh, you just sang that song, He has made me glad. Why don't you tell your face?" I mean, I think that's true. We often don't really show how happy we are that Jesus is part of our life. And so we need to show that more. If we're going to sing it, we should reflect that. We should show it. So when Justin asked me to do this, I said, sure. He told me what it is. I said, great. And then I only knew how to do was go to the best resource that I have. I do have daughters who have gone to a Taylor Swift concert. They did whatever they do to their face and dress and all those kind of things, and they went to a concert. So I asked them, well, what song should I choose? Because Justin told me I could pick the song. And I had no desire to listen to every song and try to figure it out. I had no desire to figure all those things in life out. That is not my deal. So I just asked my daughters, which song should I pick? And they picked this one, and they jumped right out and said, oh, do Invisible Strings. That'll be easy. They lied to me, too. And then time went by, and then I listened to the song, and then I said, how in the world am I going to do this? But I think maybe today I figured out a little way to make that happen. But I want to start today with a story that's been told by pastors all over the world, I'm sure, in many different settings to get to many different points. And I want to tell a story about a father who has little children, and he wants to be the best father he can possibly be. And so the father wants to be so good, he actually went out and bought his children a kitten. He has to really want to be good to buy your kid a kitten, all right? So he buys them a kitten, and then his wife is going off grocery shopping, and he still wants to be the greatest dad he can be. So he says, kids, let's go to the park. And they say, oh, I would love to go to the park. So they go to the park, and then as they get in the car, all the kids say, oh, Daddy, can we bring the kitten? Fluffy wants to go to the park. So dad, wanting to be a great dad, says, all right, bring Fluffy, all right? And this would pretty much be the same way my life would happen. As soon as they get to the park and the kids get out of the car, what do you think happens? Fluffy takes off running. Fluffy climbs up in a tree, and Fluffy climbs out at the end of this branch that's too high for dad to reach. There's no branches to be able to climb up on this tree. Fluffy picked the wrong tree, all right? So dad says, what are we going to do? And the kids are all crying, Fluffy's in a tree. Dad, what are we going to do? Fluffy's in a tree. And dad says, I have a great idea. In the back of the car, I have a rope. We'll tie it around the branch and we'll pull the branch down far enough so that Fluffy can get out. All right, so dad does that. He throws the rope over, he ties it in a knot, pulls it tight, pulls the branch down, and they're pulling as hard as they can. And the kids are going, Daddy, you got to pull harder. And Daddy's doing everything he can to be the greatest dad he can be. And he pulls and he pulls. And the kitten even looks like it wants it to work and crawls to the end of the branch, but they can't get the kitten far enough down. And so dad, wanting to be a great dad and wanting to have the great result at the end of this, does the best thing he can think of, and he takes the car and he pulls it over by the tree and he ties the rope right to the front bumper. And he backs the car up, and the kids are going, Daddy, she's almost close enough. Fluffy's here. And Fluffy climbs even farther out to the end of the branch so that they can reach him. And the kids are reaching up, and they go, Daddy, she's almost here. And he backs up just one more time, and the rope breaks. So that's a lot like my sermon today. I hope I get to a result today that was what I wanted. Now, the cat did come out of the tree, which is the result that he wanted. It just didn't get there the way that he is hoping. And that may be what you're going to face today. All right? As I work through this sermon time and again and change this and change that and went all around, hopefully we have come to something. But, you know, in my time, normally when I prepare for a sermon, I have to open up the Bible and do a lot of time. But this time I had to buy a book. All right? So I bought a Taylor Swift book. So I just helped her make more money, which she does not need. But also, I had this great idea that the story is called Invisible String, and that's what we're going to do. And so I wanted to buy a Taylor Swift cutout, and I was going to have fishing lines strung all along here, and I was going to, like, pull Taylor Swift up like this in a cardboard thing. But those cost $100, so I didn't want to buy a Taylor Swift cutout. So instead, I just bought this for Justin that he can stick on the van window when he drives around town. And he can be riding around with Taylor Swift. So if you see him, make sure you toot at him as he drives around with Taylor Swift. It's kind of weird to see her looking up here, but we'll put her over there. So today we're going to try to figure out how to make sense out of this song, Invisible String. So this song by Taylor Swift is really about a guy in a relationship that they're attached by an invisible string, and they went to all these same places, and somehow they're all pulled together. Cheesy, all right? But that's what this song is about. If you know anything about Taylor Swift, she seems to always be searching for a man and for that love and all those kind of things. All right. As Jeff Jump said earlier, Taylor Swift has ruined the NFL, all right, because of the whole Travis Kelce thing. But you have a test today. We are going to listen to the entire song. The lyrics are up there, but they're a little bit small. But you're going to listen to the entire song. And since I'm not sure whether or not my points that I made are really good, you have a job to do. As you are listening to this song, I want you to figure out what it is that ties this back to the Bible. What does this song that can bring you and show you a passage, a story, a verse, what is it that can draw you back to the Bible, and how does that work? So that is your homework, as you listen to this song by Taylor Swift.
The color of the grass where I used to read at Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop. You used to work at to make a little money. Time, curious time. Give me no compasses, give me no signs. Were there clues I didn't see? And isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me? First trip to LA, you ate at my favorite spot for dinner. Bold was the richest on a 3-year trip, getting lunch down by the lakes. She said I looked like an American singer. Time, mystical time, cutting me open then healing me fine. Were there clues I didn't see? Just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me.
Just as Justin does very often, I'm going to do the same thing. I am going to give you some time to be able to talk about that. What kind of passage, what verse, what broke up. I don't care where you go in here. You don't have to go anywhere. I don't care if you talk to a person or talk to yourself, but I want you to discuss how did this connect you in any way to the Bible and what kind of things did you bring out from this song. I will give you a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll be back. All right, if you are not done, you can continue talking to yourself on the way home. I didn't really see that slide earlier that said if you run late, you have to buy pizza. I'm not buying pizza. So I'm on page 2. We'll see how far we can get here. So I want to get us through where we're at today. So first I want to start with some scripture. It's out of Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So there are a lot of things in our world that really is invisible, all right? I actually have an invisible head of hair. You just can't see it. It's beautiful, long, and flowing. But there are a lot of things that are around us that are invisible that we can't quite figure out. And that's part of what faith is. Faith is trusting that the things that we read in Scripture are true. And so we see that verse that all those things are tied together. So as I tried to make sense out of this and turn this into a sermon, I tried to think of what are some things all the way through Scripture that are just kind of tied together with a string. What is it that goes all the way through what we can see? And I actually did find there was a lot of things that we can see that are in the beginning, all the way through the Bible, and at the end. And the first one that I found is something that Justin has mentioned in the last few months quite a bit, would be the string of what I call wood, all right? So for those of you who don't know, trees and wood are the same things. We do have a lot of fake stuff that you get today, but trees and wood are the same thing. So all the way back to the book of Genesis, we're going to start with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all right? So we have trees, and that starts all the way back there. And then we continue all the way through. We continue to Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark is made out of wood, and so we see something else there and how that saves Noah and his family from the destruction that is coming, and so the wood is a part of that. We have the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember, as the Israelites moved along, they built an Ark of the Covenant that was made out of a special wood that was called acacia wood, and the thing that's important about acacia wood is it doesn't rot. It doesn't decay, and so that symbolizes the fact that Jesus is eternal. And so that was carried, and they carried they were supposed to have God's spirit in it, and they would carry that through, and so that's also made of wood. Then I thought of Abraham who was supposed to sacrifice his son in response to what God asked him to do. He was on a fire that was made of wood, and right before he did that, God spoke to him and says, I don't want you to do that. And then he looked over and saw a ram that was stuck in the wood, in the bushes, in the thicket. And so that was how wood continues there, and that was used for the sacrifice to honor that. And then we go into some of the New Testament. We have fig trees, which have a lot of examples that Jesus has talked about. That's some wood. Then we have boats. We have a lot of things with boats in the water. We also have Jesus walking on water, getting to the boat where the disciples are. So as I looked at that, that was one of the themes that kind of fit all the way through, and it ends with the cross, which is also made out of wood, and the symbolism that is. So we have the beginning with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and we end with the cross. And so I think as we look in our lives, we see there are a lot of things that tie us together. Many, many years ago, my wife was a volunteer in a Youth for Christ ministry, and I was a volunteer in another one. And then we met, and then here's how we ended up here all the way long ago, right? And so is that a string? I'm not sure how it works. When Justin and Julie were younger and in high school, they were at the same church that I went to. They were in the youth group that I led, and then somehow we ended all the way up over here. Is there an invisible string that ties all that together? I have no idea, but that's the song title, so I had to figure it out. But I think we can look in our lives and we can say, well, yeah, that might tie to there, and that might tie to there, all right? And there might be strings going in many, many different directions. And so that's one of the things that I found was the wood string. The other thing I looked at was the story of Joseph in the Bible. All right, if you remember, Joseph was born and he was the father's favorite. All right, he had brothers and he was the favorite and they liked him and dad liked him so much that he made him a coat of many colors. All right, and what happened when he had that coat? And then he had a dream and then the brothers no longer like him, right? That happens with your brothers. If you have a dream and you're better, they don't like you. I'm just warning you now. All right, Jesse, don't do that. And so the reality is that he had that, and so then his brothers did what? They sold him into slavery. So now Joseph's going into slavery, all right? And then Joseph has all these things that happen in his life while he's in slavery, all right? He becomes the head of Potiphar's house, helping with everything. He was one of the high ups in the government. Potiphar's wife thinks that Joseph is pretty cute. Potiphar's wife chases him. Joseph decides to go the other direction. Potiphar's wife lies. Joseph goes to jail, all right? So we have a lot of ups and downs in this whole string, but it seems like God has his purpose and what he wants to go through all of those kind of things. So when we look at stories like Joseph, we may be able to see there is a string that God has used the ups and downs, but kept him together, kept him on track, kept him going where he wanted. Can you see those things in your life? Is there a way that God has used a direction that he has taken you and wanted to do that? And so there is an invisible string where Joseph ends up helping save his family and all those kind of things at the end of that story. All right, I think of the story of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, and so they end up, because they will not bow down and worship a god they're not supposed to worship, they end up being thrown into a fiery furnace. All right, and when they look inside, there's not three guys in there, there are four walking around, which shows us that even in the Old Testament, the Jesus that we know in the New Testament has appeared. That's called a Christophany, where Jesus appears in form before Jesus appeared on earth. And so the reality is we see these things tied all the way through. Jesus is not just in the New Testament. He goes all the way back to creation. And so that bodily form of God is in the shape there and is in the fiery furnace. Daniel will not bow down. Daniel gets thrown in with a bunch of hungry lions. The lions do not eat him. All right? So there's something that's going on that as we look all through Scripture that we can see that and we can find it. The other thing, as I found it, as I was trying to figure these things out, they say there's a red thread all through the Bible, they call it. There's a red thread of blood. And so that goes all the way back. We saw at the first sacrifice that was made was after Adam and Eve had sinned. They'd eaten from the tree they were not supposed to eat from. And then they realized that they were naked. All right? When they realized that, they began to feel bad about that. And so what does God have to do? God has to kill an animal in order to clothe them with the animal skins. So it starts all the way back there. It ends all the way with Jesus. There's a red thread of blood that goes throughout the entire Bible that ties it all together. So am I making a stretch for those kind of things? I don't understand. But as I look at the invisible strings, those are the things that I'm trying to find. And that's how that song would tie into what we're doing today. I will tell you that even though I spent time looking at the lyrics, listening to songs, my wife was watching a documentary one night on Taylor Swift while I was doing some other work on the computer, so I listened to a whole Taylor Swift documentary. All right, it made me very sad. All right, here's a young lady who has pretty much everything the world can give her, but yet she's still seeking and seeking and seeking for so much. She wants love so badly when she has everything you could buy, but she doesn't have it, all right? And so we can learn from that as we do it, you know? So I did not watch the documentary, but I heard it. It's a lot like in our family. I've heard, I think, all the Disney movies, but I didn't see them all. And the reason being that way is when we'd be driving on a trip, the kids would be watching a Disney movie in the back. All right, and as a good driver, I didn't watch the Disney movie while I drove, all right? But there are things that are happening all around us. We may not see them, all right, but it can be happening. And so as a result of this sermon and that documentary, I've really begun to pray that Taylor Swift would find out who Jesus is. She would know that ultimate love. Because I think we think if we had more money, we'd be more of this, and if we had more of that. And the reality is this proves that that's not true. And so she is really seeking to find out what it means in that way. And so, but as a result of this, I am not a Swiftie, I will tell you. It has not converted me. I have not bought concert tickets, all right? I'm not doing it as a result of this, but I'm doing it. But I'm also, you know, she is dating a Kansas City Chiefs player. I'm not going to watch a Chiefs game just because of that, all right? Millions of Americans watch Chiefs games just because they might see Taylor Swift up in there. All right, it doesn't change how I'm going to watch it. If I can watch a football game, I'll watch it, but it has nothing to do with it. But what has happened to me as a result of this is it makes me just kind of notice there are people all around us who don't know what we know. All right, and I've known that before, but it just kind of highlighted it to me. Here's somebody who has everything the world could give, except somebody to tell her who Jesus is, it seems. All right? She has everything. People are around her. People flock to her. People actually, I would say, worship her in a way that's probably unhealthy. But she doesn't know what it means. So what this sermon series has finally taught me, since the beginning when Justin asked me to do it, I wasn't sure why are we doing a sermon series on Taylor Swift. You know, of all the other things, why are we doing that? But I think, and he mentioned it a little bit last week, and it finally clicked for me. The reason we are doing this is because in this world, there's all kinds of people around us. And this proves to us that we can talk about anything and get us to Jesus. All right? Whatever somebody mentions to you, you're able to get together. So if your friend at work happens to say, "Oh my goodness, I'm so tired of the rain and it's never going to stop," we can say, "Well, let me tell you about a story in the Bible." All right? It did stop, all right? So where you're able to do that, all right, I don't want to tell you to start beating people with your Bible, but the reality is whatever the conversation is, we can bring it back to the Bible. If we can bring a Taylor Swift song back to the Bible, all right, the fact that it's not going to stop rain, we can explain that story of who that is. If somebody were to say to you, "I am really sick and tired of all this political stuff and all these commercials and all these things. I'm tired of it. I wish we just had a king." All right? So if your friend says that to you, well, you say, "Well, that's what the Israelites asked for once. They wanted a king, and it didn't turn out so well." So those are just kind of off the hand kind of thing. But the reality is, whatever is happening in the world, we can lead a discussion with a person back to who Jesus is and back to what we've learned and back to what he means to us. And so that's really the point of what's behind all of this. The point of our sermon series and why we're talking about Taylor Swift is the world needs to know about this Bible. All right, they're probably not going to come to church unless you bring them. So if you're not going to bring them, there's got to be some way to start a discussion. And so that's the way to do it. And then you can bring them. So I don't know all about the invisible strings. I don't know how true they are. I don't know what it is. But today I brought just a little prop bag to kind of help us understand. All right. So this one here would be the closest thing that I can think of to be an invisible string. All right. That would be our fishing line. All right. That's kind of invisible. Maybe some of you were lucky enough that all you needed was this little fishing line that God threw out to you and you followed it right into him, all right? Maybe some of you were easy enough. That was it. You just needed a small little line to pull you into who Jesus was. And maybe that's all. But I think some of us have some more problems, all right? Some of us need maybe a little bit stronger line, all right? We're going to resist a little bit. We're going to stay back. So we need a little stronger line to pull us to Jesus. So we work on that. But then there's still some others of us who are like, "You know what? I'm still not ready to go. I'm going to hold back." So Jesus throws out a bigger rope, loops it around you and tries to drag you, but you can drag your feet. You can stick back and you cannot go. So for all of us who really don't know what it is when God's trying to get our attention, we have this one. All right? And so some of us need a really big one to draw us into it, and some of us don't. And so if today, I want you to know the whole purpose of church is that God is calling you. God is calling you to be a follower of his. God is calling you to tell others about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So if you're here today, and if you've been here for a while, or if you're new, I want you to know that the whole purpose of why we're here is because God is calling you. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus still would have died for you. And that's why we're here, and that's what it is. And so, I don't know about the invisible string theory and what that means. There's all kinds of things you can read on the internet about it. It is kind of weird. But I do want you to know, I want to read one more verse to you here that comes out of 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for you. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent and be sound." So I want you to know that he is for you, and that is his purpose. And the way I want to end tonight is I want you to think about your car. Think about your vehicle. Okay, I don't know what you drove here today, and it doesn't matter. But I want you to think about your car, and I want to think about that car in relationship to who Jesus is in your life. Okay, there's some of you in this room that I think you just put Jesus in the trunk. And we pull him out on Sunday morning, and we take him in with us, and we act all nice, and then we go back out to the parking lot and say, "Jesus, get back in there. I'll bring you back next week," right? So we have Jesus in the trunk. Some of us might just have Jesus in the back seat, all right? We don't really want him to tell us where to turn. We don't want him to tell us what to do. He's just in the back seat, all right? Just stay back there and be quiet. Others of us, we want Jesus to be in the front seat. "Oh, well, Jesus is my co-pilot, all right? That sounds so good. All right, he tells me where to turn. He tells me what to do. Jesus does not want to be your co-pilot. He has no desire to be your co-pilot. Jesus wants to be driving the car. Why do we have such a hard time letting Jesus be in control of our life? He knows where all the chuck holes are. He knows what's around the turn. He knows what the speed limit is. All right? But yet we want to keep him in other places in the car, and we don't want to let him take charge of our life. And I think what we are called to today, and that invisible string that he is pulling us with, is he wants to pull us over to the passenger seat. And he wants to get in, and he wants to be in charge of our lives and drive us. And then that reminds me of another song by another artist. And that song is called Jesus, Take the Wheel. Let's pray, and then we'll have a closing song. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I ask that you would continue to just call us closer to you, that we would seek and desire a closer relationship with you and what that means. And Father, I thank you for music, how it draws us to you. And Lord, I thank you for songs that drive us to find out who you are. Lord, today I do pray for Taylor Swift and the many millions of people around the world who don't know exactly who you are and are in need of finding out what that means. And Lord, I pray that maybe even today she thinks of you, that you would call that. And everyone in this room who doesn't know you personally, Lord, I ask that you would speak to them, call them to you, and that they would allow you to take over their life because you know where it's going. Lord, we just thank you and pray all this through your name, Jesus. Amen.